AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Thursday, there we go. Still got it. The grasp of the Julian calendar, that is. Matt and Patrick here today. Patrick, it feels like it's going to storm, but we haven't had anything yet here in the metro. It's starting to really get dry out there, so I hope it does rain a little bit.
Yeah, when I was doing the weathers, supposedly it's a 100% chance of rain overnight. Could have 3/4 to 1 inch.
Okay, well, someone was paying attention reading the script there. Maybe I should do that. I don't know. Yeah, it hasn't helped me so far in my career, so why start now? Hey, look, there's green and red stuff on the radar. So, all right, so just FYI, we'll see some rain a little bit later on this afternoon. If you're going to be on the road, just expect that there. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Wow, we finally have gotten to the point where Facebook says enough. On Thursday, they removed Trump campaign ads posted featuring an upside-down red triangle, a symbol that was used in Nazi Germany to mark political prisoners in concentration camps. The Trump campaign pushed back soon after, saying the red triangle is a sign used by Antifa and that its ad was criticizing the group's recent involvement in protests and riots. First of all, you saying a symbol is Antifa's, and actually, I have yet to see like some sort of organized Antifa group. I have not seen this. I'm sure some right wing guy is frantically putting up a webpage right now that features an upside down red triangle. But the reality is, these Republicans act like it's like they wear, who are the guys that used to beat up people in the streets of New York in the 1980s? Oh, angels. Oh, God. Guardian angels. The Guardian angels. Where they had the red berets. Do they have berets? I was like, do they have like Letterman shirts that one has like A, one has like N, and one has like T, and they all just kind of lock arms and walk down the street like some 1950s barbershop quartet sort of thing? No, I don't. How do you identify them? I have been in a few of these protests. I have no idea who these guys are, but all of a sudden, you guys who, once again, Trump said there were good Nazis, all of a sudden get caught using a Nazi symbol and act as, whoa, wait a minute, where'd you get the idea we're coddling the Nazis? Facebook read in Robotron voice, we remove the post and ads for violating our policy against organized hate. A Facebook rep told the rep, I am Robotron, I am the Facebook rep. Our policy prohibits using the banded hate group's symbol to identify political prisoners without the context that it condemns and discusses the symbol. Bloomberg's Sarah Friar shared a screenshot of the deleted ad on Twitter, which you can see, is part of the Yahoo story here. Tim Murtaugh, Trump campaign director of communications, told the rap, the triangle is in no way a reference to Nazi Germany, who, by the way, all Nazis remember to vote for Trump. But, I mean, we're not trying to talk to the Nazis, although we really need all the Nazis to vote for Trump this time around. But why would we get accused of trying to address the Nazis and appeal to the Nazis, who we desperately need to vote? The inverted red triangle is a symbol used by Antifa, so it was included in an ad about Antifa. No, you guys, like I said, I can, how about a duck? I don't know. Or how about, exposed butt cheeks? Because we could use that as a symbol of the Trump administration. I mean, if anyone can just apply a logo or a brand to anything we want to, exposed butt cheeks, Donald Trump. I think it works. You guys got caught pandering to the Nazis. You got caught using Nazi symbols. It's not the first time you use the Star of David, the yellow star, on ads basically against Hillary Clinton. Remember that? I remember that. And back then when we said, oh, he's trying to appeal to the Nazis, Republicans says, no, he's not. No, he's not. Now we can say, yeah, no, he's trying to appeal to the Nazis. Yeah, he is. We took note that Facebook still has inverted red triangle emoji in use, which is exactly the same, so it's curious that they would target this ad, Murtaugh said in a statement. The image is not included in the anti-defamation-related base of symbols of hate, but it's ironic that, well, I mean, if it was used against the Jews by Nazi Germany, I'll go with guilt by association here. Just because it's not in some data book, you at best, you're just complete idiots. It's like when you started saying we're teabaggers. Really? You might want to pull up the old Urban Dictionary before you start bragging about that. Because nothing, seriously, nothing was funnier than some 75-year-old lady goes, I'm a teabagger. Really? Oh, okay. Well, be proud of that. You might want to, at best, you're complete and totally incompetent because you didn't look up the reference here. At worst, and I think we all can agree, this is about, Nazis. And by the way, it should be mentioned, funny story, yesterday, John Bolton released that Trump coddled the Saudi king and his crew that killed that journalist. He basically endorsed him and was pandering to him to basically take Ivanka Trump's email story, where Ivanka Trump not only was using private email, funny story. Remember when all you guys were livid about Hillary Clinton using private email to do government business? Funny story. Not only was Ivanka doing that on private email, but a month before she was appointed to a government position, she was apparently conducting government business as a private citizen on private emails. Funny. I know you should be outraged, but you're all hacks, so never mind. Never mind. Needless to say, Bolton says, guess what? He tries to basically, he's so desperate to protect Ivanka that he will basically do anything to take that off the front page. And all of a sudden, now we have a Nazi symbol being used. And oh, who said this? How dare you call us Nazis? By the way, have you stopped talking about Ivanka yet? No, by the way, Ivanka Trump, FYI, in case you missed the story I just said about a minute ago, Ivanka Trump was using private emails to conduct government business. And the funny story is, a month before she was appointed to a government position, which is still vague to most of us on what exactly position she holds, she was actually conducting conducting government business as a private citizen on private emails. I know. She should go to jail too. Lock her up. Right, Republicans? Lock her up. Remember that chant? Of course that's not going to come bite you guys in the buttocks. By the way, buttocks, the symbol of the Trump administration. Lock her up. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, and scene. Let me get into, first of all, the COVID-19 stuff here, because do the business leaders, do they see what's going on in Florida? Do they see what's going on in Oklahoma and in Texas and in Arizona and in Georgia? All states that when people say we need a lockdown, they say, something of that magnitude. I think there was a consonant in there. I'm not sure. But the reality is that Florida right now, and by the way, if you've not read about the medical evaluations of where Florida is at right now, they're anticipating Florida now to be worse than New York City. Oh, my God. That would be oh, my God. I hope not. But the way that the coronavirus is spreading and being reported and hospitals are filling up in Florida, that it's actually going to get far worse before it gets any bit better. That's kind of scary. That is kind of scary indeed. 19 deaths, an additional 387 COVID-19 cases were announced in the Minnesota Department of Health on Thursday. That brings the total number of fatalities caused by the pandemic to 1,344. About 80% of the deaths have been among residents of long-term care facilities. By the way, Florida, don't know if you're aware of this, and Arizona, quite a few long-term care facilities. A total of 31,675 Minnesotans are known to have had the coronavirus. Maurer County has emerged as a new hotspot for the confirmed cases. More than 80 additional infections detected this week for a total of 744 cases since the pandemic began. Do we know? The county is home to two meat processing plants. That's why. All right. This is the case. We are seeing that there has been activity in both in the community as well as related to a couple of large employers in the area. recognizing there's both workplace potential for exposure as well as activity in the community. The testing is being expanded, said the infectious disease director said. Testing will be offered this week in Austin. So far, nearly 460,000 COVID-19 tests have been performed statewide, which, by the way, is getting up to is probably about 12% of the state. That's not bad. Maybe a little less. I think it's maybe a little bit less, but it's actually getting up there. That's pretty good. Health Partners said Thursday this week it has run tests for more than 50,000 patients since they started testing in March. About 12% of all COVID-19 confirmed cases in the state have required hospitalizations in the pandemic. There are 345 hospitalized patients, a decrease of 6 since Wednesday, with 10 fewer patients in intensive care at 171. That 171 number is where we're keeping in the most eye on. Most people who need hospital-level care have underlying health conditions as well. So there is that. And like I said, I think this is not a game. I was looking at the maps, the tracking maps of certain countries. And let's talk about Spain and Italy, the two countries that really outside of China got hit the worst in this whole thing. And one of the things that happened was they basically had that big spike, but then because of the measures they put in place, they kind of lowered down. We've had a little bit of a decrease, but we're still on the top of that plateau. When people have talked to Dr. Fauci about whether or not we're going to have a second wave, he's like, we got to get through the first wave first. And we're not past the first wave. We are still in the heat of the first wave. We never shut this country down like we should have. We never shut this country down like we should have. And right now, and I want to make sure we all understand this, you could start having a total of 1,000 cases per day in Minnesota. You could end up having 50 dead per day in Minnesota. Really bad numbers. And there are people who will say, we don't care, keep the Arby's open. That is a real disturbing sign. And by the way, a lot of people saying that, they think they're Christians. I know. They think they're the ones that are screaming, I'm the most Christian human being ever. No, they're not. Not even close. Dear Lord, no. Nope. Let's run some calls here really quick before I get to the business side of this as well. John is in Minnetonka. Welcome on in, John. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me on. I love you, Matt. I wish you were national. I love your energy on your rant. Makes my day.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
In any case, you're talking about the people saying, hey, leave it open. Well, I just got a question. Trump's got this rally coming up down in Tulsa.
Yeah.
He's making everybody sign a waiver saying they're not going to sue him if they get COVID. Well, if they want to volunteer to thin out the gene pool, go for it. I applaud them. What I do not applaud is the fact that what happens to everybody else in Tulsa? They're not signing a waiver saying they're not going to sue Trump. If I have people in my family get sick because some idiot went to that rally and got them sick, guess what? I'm going to sue the hell out of the Trump campaign.
Well, and John, if I can step on in here, and thank you, John, I appreciate the phone call here. One of the things, it's not just Tulsa. Put about a 100-mile radius around that, and that doesn't include the people that travel to every one of his rallies. Put about a 100-mile radius around that. You're going to have a massive outbreak zone in that entire area. So Arkansas, Kansas, Texas, the whole state, that whole area is going to have a lot more problems. You can only tell the train conductor to slow down so much. I mean, Tulsa has got has the most cases in a single day Oklahoma has the most cases in a single day, or is it Tulsa? It might be Tulsa. Had the most cases in a single day yet of coronavirus. That is not how you want to start this up. And I understand you're testing temperatures before you're going in. You're asking people, do you feel good? The reality is we already know there's a lot of people that have coronavirus that don't realize they have coronavirus. And they're not showing a temperature, and they're not showing signs that they're sick. And they're going to be in there screaming at the top of their lungs, and regardless of mask or not, into the back of tons of people's heads. I'm sorry. If I were a politician, I would be trying my best to find some way to, I can't make it that night. Because I really am concerned at 2 to 3 weeks past that, how many of the administration are going to be sick, how many people in the Tulsa government and the Oklahoma state government are going to be sick, how many of these people are going to be sick. But once again, I've said this before that, you know, I initially said that a person could walk in on Trump having sex with his spouse and the first thing out of their wives would be damn Democrats. I've abridged that to saying that Trump could now walk into their house, kill their grandmother, start having violent, improper relations with the corpse, and they'd still say, damn Democrats. And now we're getting to the point where there's like, oh, he's going to shoot me. Darn those Democrats. Donald Trump is going to shoot me in the face with a gun. You damn Democrats, stop it. That's where they're at right now. Gerber! Gary is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Gary.
Hey, man, I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you, sir. So, I appreciate that.
I was going to say, you know, the middlemen, the profiteering insurance companies that do everything that struck us get decent health care. You can expect them to raise their, you know, they don't deliver a bit of health care, they just obstruct it. But I was going to say, you can expect them to jack their rates way up next year, you know, because of COVID. And you can't let them go hungry, can you?
Not at all. I agree with you wholeheartedly. You can't let them go hungry. Gary, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much, and thanks for the nice words. Governor Wall says he won't immediately heed the call from business owners around the state to allow businesses to fully open Friday and urge them to help enforce safety protocols to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. The comments came after local chambers of commerce around the state, trade groups, and the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce pressed the governor to reopen the state by June 19th. They argued the state was seeing its COVID-19 cases drop and businesses should be able the ability to come back online with safety precautions. Well, first of all, let's talk about that for a second. As I mentioned, are you paying attention to what's going on in these states where they didn't really shut down? All it will take is basically 2 weeks of everything's open, party hardy, who is afraid of coronavirus too? What do you mean grandma's sick? That's dead serious. That is dead serious. That is the 2 weeks. And let me also point out this safety precaution stuff. We've already seen what some of these right-wing idiots think safety precautions are. That bar in Albany, Minnesota, where they're no one was wearing facial protection. They're all sitting out there screaming. They're all ready to go, you know, start serving beers. There is already a lot of people that they don't care. They'll say, yeah, I'll be safe. I'll be safety conscious. The reality is they have no intent to be safety conscious. And the one of the truth of the Chamber of Commerce, I understand you say, well, guys, be safe. And they'll say, yeah, sure. But you're not holding them to that accountability. And then when someone says, well, I was in this bar, I was in this restaurant, they weren't obeying any kind of safety protocols, Chamber of Commerce doesn't come back and say, maybe we were wrong. Maybe we can't trust the businesses. Instead, they just go, ooh, that one bad business. Keep everything else open. After waves of reopenings, Wall said Minnesota hadn't complied with social distancing or mask requirements that he said that could influence the timeline for additional reopenings. I hear them. We opened up pools. We're going to try to push as hard as we can. But I just want everyone to be really clear. If we just say everything's off, it's not as if the businesses are going to do that. It's not as if communities are going to do that. They're still going to make a decision themselves. Our best way to get this economy going is to find a sustainable way to make it happen in the long run. And by the way, everything that Walls has done has been actually pretty damn good. The state on Wednesday reported COVID-19 case count had grown. The governor called on local officials and business leaders to enforce existing health and safety policies, which had been required as part of a gradual reopening process. I would just ask them to help us, the governor said. Just don't tell me to open more when you all saw the pictures of the Dinky Town and some of the bars down there that were really crowded. And he's right. The guys in Dinky Town that were opened up, you were morons to do that. Because not only do you basically, are you a health hazard, but you become the poster child for this. And the mentality of rural Minnesota is, well, look at the libtards in the city doing what they're doing. Look at them. Well, why can't we do that? Well, because they shouldn't be doing that. And you guys don't care because, and frankly, especially anything around the University of Minnesota, I've heard people over there saying, oh, yeah, the businesses don't think it affects the college kids. Have you seen the stories out of, I think it's Texas and Arizona, huge parties of kids, teenagers, that have gotten together and now they all have it. And in multiple families, they've given it to multiple other family members, including their grandparents. Well, I'm sure glad that pool party with Billy was that important that Grandma and Grandpa might not make it. But sometimes it takes, you know, these people being that stupid for people to realize we're doing this for a freaking reason, for God's sakes. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. I got to get into some stuff with the police. I'm going to rip to shreds Warren Limmer and also a few other things as well. By all means, the DACA ruling. We might get to that as well, too. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Even though these are challenging times, All Energy Solar is still committed to providing you a cost-effective, environmentally friendly energy system through their zero-contact protocol. Solar remains a great value and long-term investment, but some of the incentive programs will be expiring soon. All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process. They can evaluate your property by phone or webinar and can even complete preliminary design work without visiting your home. So start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I speak nationally and internationally on the subjects of entrepreneurship, trades reform, apprenticeship, craftsmanship, and coating science. I've created a rigorous apprenticeship program where I find, train, inspire, and mentor young people in my craft. The result is an ultra-professional crew of craftspeople that cares about their work and your project. We're not like other contractors. Visit NICKSLAVIK.com. That's NickSlavik.com to learn more.
Not only does Rudy Luther Toyota have a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota certified used vehicle dealers in the country. Quality and low prices are benchmarks of Rudy Luther. They offer a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty and feature incredibly low interest rates. This June, you can get financing at 0% on certified used RAV4s and Camrys for well-qualified buyers. But remember, this offer is only good for June. Find your next car today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
During these times, there's nothing more important than clean. That's why you should call Zero Res today. Cleaning is what they do best, and they're here to help. Only Zero Res cleans with patented-powered water, eliminating the need for harsh, smelly chemicals. Get a fresh start to summer with 3 rooms of carpet Zero Resified starting at only $149. And don't forget about your air ducts. Before your AC is running at full capacity this summer, make sure the years of buildup of dust, dirt, and allergens are removed from your air ducts. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
During this stay-at-home time, many of us are getting around to what needs doing at home. So how is your vacuum cleaner running? Is it time to get it repaired or maybe even replaced? Great news! A1 Vacuum in Roseville is open for curbside service. We're here from 10 until 2, Monday through Saturday. Give us a call at 651-222-6316 to place your order for curbside supplies, repairs, or replacements. Find more information and updates at a-1vacuum.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. Gerald's in Fridley. Let's get him on in. He's been holding for a while. Welcome on in, Gerald.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I want to talk about the trust bill that Brett was bringing up before he went off the air. I already knew about this. I have friends in the 3rd District, and they have called Congressman Dean Phillips' office asking that he not support this Social Security trust, which shortens the length of time Congress has to enact on, you know, legislation and all that. So I have also called him and told him, you know, to put a retraction on his trust for this bill, and that he will probably be a one-term congressman because he is acting like a Republican. And I expect this from Mitt Romney, the Republicans. Thank you, Matt.
No problem. And I'll just say this to Dean. Dean, don't do this, man. Dude, seriously, just listen for me a second, okay? Do you know how outraged? I've got people texting me. I got people sending me messages. If you support this bill, they want your head on a platter, dude. And you can. I understand. You're in the 3rd District, but if you want to be Republican light, you're not going to appeal to Democrats. How many times have we seen that? Just don't do it. Just be a Democrat, and which means, you know, you take care of the people. And you sure don't go cut bills just because, I don't know, they keep giving billionaires and millionaires massive tax breaks and massive cash handouts. Maybe, just maybe, you should be looking at, I don't know, increasing the wealthiest taxes. Instead of looking to cut the post office or get rid of Social Security or get rid of Medicare. Dude, stop. This is the problem I have with Klobuchar. You know, it's just, you've got a group of people on the other side of the aisle that freaking hate you. And sure, they'll pretend to like you a little bit. If it gets a vote for them, they'll let you into their club and give you a bit. But you know what you're doing is you're selling out your own party. And I'm tired of it. When Tom Bach and the Senate Democrats, Tom Bach got a handful of Senate Democrats to go with the Republicans to override Governor Dayton, I was like, what in the hell are you guys even doing? And in my mind, Bach should have been removed from the leadership position at that point. You don't ever see this with Republicans, but Democrats, you fall in love with we have to find a way to work with the other side. Well, the other side chucks a freaking bill at you. Tells you there's no compromise, there's no rewrites, and you have to sign it, and you're like, okay, here you go, here's my signature, stop it. Dude, you will have a hard time winning re-election, even in the age of Trump, if that's the stance you're going to take. And I've had you on the air, I thought it was one of the brightest politicians I've ever met, but this is a mistake, dude. And I mean, you know, It's like when you watch Jacob Fry go into if you're going into a rally that's got one specific issue in mind, defund the police, they're going to ask you, are you for defunding the police? And if you don't say yes, you're going to have the walk of shame. All right? Don't walk into the rakes. You're smarter than that, Dean. You are smarter than that. 952-946-6205. I'll start with, how about, speaking of congressmen that just are, yeah. the GOP, I don't know if you're aware of this, but one of our favorite guys, Pete Stubbe. Stobber. Pete Stobber, Minnesota 8th District, House Republican. He is the GOP police reform push, leader of the House GOP reform push. He I don't know if you're aware of this, he is a huge supporter of Bob Kroll. He is! I know! In late 2019, Stobber tweeted a photo of him and Kroll. Were they dressed? Oh, no, yeah, they were. I'm sorry. I'm such a jerk sometimes. That would be a story, wouldn't it? That would be a story. No, they were fully clothed, to my knowledge. Declared that he's proud to stand by the police union head, whose controversial career has included pledging to fight for the jobs of the officers who killed George Floyd, calling Black Lives Matter a terrorist organization, challenging a Minneapolis resident to a fight on social media, calling him a cowardly blank to blank. Calling Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison a terrorist. Calling the police of the Washington Post reporter on the Washington Post reporter because Kroll doesn't want any press. A lengthy history of excessive force complaints. Beating a man whose backpack bumped Kroll's car. Beating, choking, and kicking a biracial 15-year-old while hurling slurs at him. Fighting to continue to hold killology trainings. That's right. It's warrior training! Blah! And Stobber loves this guy. Pete Stobber loves the guy that says George Floyd deserved it. He deserved it. That the cops should not only have not been fired, should not be charged. We should be giving them a medal. I'm paraphrasing a little bit there, but we all saw the letter, didn't we? It's not exactly mystery what Bob Kroll thinks that we're not talking about George Floyd's record. Like, that would justify this in any way. But that's what Bob Kroll thinks. This was a justified murder. And Pete Stobber thinks he's great. Yeah, I'm sorry. You Stobby, you got to go out there. And if you're in the Duluth media, and I know Duluth, the newspaper in Duluth, you are the press room for Stubbe. I know that. But You guys need to go on out there and put a camera and microphone in front of his mouth and say, so when Bob Kroll said that George Floyd deserved this, since you stand by Bob Kroll, do you stand by that statement? And when he tries to give you the gobbledygook, you say, no, no, do you stand by Bob Kroll's statement that George Floyd deserved it? Well, paraphrasing, but you get my point. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. I got to chew out Warren Limmer here in a second. Plus, I want to try to get to DACA, too. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Did you know there's deconstruction funding available now for homeowners and contractors in Hennepin County? If you are embarking on a remodel or teardown this year, consider hiring Better Futures Minnesota's deconstruction crews instead of demolition. By taking a house or building apart by hand instead of destroying it with heavy equipment, the materials can be reused or recycled instead of going into the landfill. It is much more cost-effective and is a carbon-neutral solution. Go to betterfuturesminnesota.com and look under Business Services to learn more.
Hi, this is Chad from AM 950. Whether it's storm damage from the past or a new issue that's popped up over the years, Snap Construction is the company we trust for all roofing, siding, windows, and exterior construction needs. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, and window company in the metro. Ryan has worked with many of our listeners and is excited to help more.
Thank you to all the listeners we have worked with and all the listeners at AM 950 that we haven't had the opportunity to work with yet. This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. Safety of our homeowners and our team at Snap Construction has always been the utmost priority. We are still offering free, no-contact estimates. This summer at Snap Construction, we've rolled out a new referral program. Mention AM 950 and we'll make a donation to the station in your name. Together, we can all work to ensure AM 950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. Call for your free estimate today. 612-333-SNAP. 612-333-SNAP.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Thank you very much to the sponsors of AM 950. We sure do appreciate it. A trio from Minneapolis, Mark, Nancy, and Michael. Michael from St. Paul. Frank and Brian, both from Minneapolis. Elizabeth from St. Paul. Steve in Burlington, Iowa. Hello, Steve. Steven in Mound. Janet and Hugo. Jerome in Minneapolis. Burton and Crystal, Bruce in St. Paul, Mike in Minneapolis, and Rod in Corcoran. Thank you very much. We appreciate everyone who sponsors AM 950. You can become a member by going over to am950radio.com, clicking on the member page. You can make a one-time donation or make a regular monthly donation. We appreciate either one, and you help keep the AM radio station on the air during the 2020 election cycle. We're very grateful for that. And a reminder, we've got great, brand new to the members only content. The only way you can hear the content is become a member. We have that online so that you can enjoy that. It really is some great stuff. We got brand new stuff all the way up and through July so far. So, you know, just make sure you're listening and make sure you're a member. That's how you can become, you can listen to the membership stuff. So am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. Bob is in Columbia Heights. He wanted to chime in on Stauber. Welcome on in.
Yeah. Hi, Matt. I grew up in Duluth. Most of my family still lives in Duluth. Unfortunately, half of my brothers are right-leaning, and my 92-year-old father, I sent him a link to a YouTube video of Tom Hartman. My father responded back that that Tom Hartman belonged in prison and should be locked up.
Ah, so and rational so discussion.
Yeah, rational. That word never enters into a discussion with my father.
Well,
unfortunately.
Well, here's what I want you to say to them. And just make them squirm, because this is what you have to do. Just say to them, is the plan for Stauber to completely shut down all the mines before he finally gets them more steel jobs? Because right now, I don't know if he understands the idea of better paying jobs, more jobs in the steel industry, but he ain't doing it right now because everything is pretty much shut down up there.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty crazy.
He remember, that was his thing. And thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. And all my best to you and your family, dude. I hope you it's going to get crazier, I imagine, before the election. But the reality is that Stauber made the promise that he was going to bring back American Steel. American Steel's come back! And yes, coronavirus has played done a doozy on the mining industry. But on top of that, the mining industry was already falling apart last year. We lost, what, 4 foundries in the United States shut down because there was no demand for American Steel. And there has been layoffs on the iron range well before coronavirus hit. So Pete Stauber, he's not doing his job. He made a promise. That was it. American Steel is going to come back. Well, he's actually damaged more the mining industry in Minnesota more than helped it. And it is probably going to be decades before it recovers. Plus the fact that he thinks Bob Kroll's just special. That's some crazy talk up there. That's just crazy talk. So I want to do a little, theater for you here if I can. But I want to revisit something I mentioned yesterday in a heated debate on the Senate floor. Now, this is the MinnPost story that was talking about police reform and how the Republicans came in. Here are the 5 bills. We're not going to amend them. We're not going to revisit them. We didn't even talk to you beforehand. We never sent you a copy. We're just throwing them at you. We're telling you to vote, and we're not going to do anything, and we're never going to revisit it. That was the Republicans' idea of compromise. Towards the end of the story, there is these few paragraphs. The heated debate on Senate floor that stretched into the evening, Senator Patricia Torres-Ray said the Republican measures were introduced without first consulting with the senators of the People of Color Indigenous Caucus. Then the GOP ignored their input and passed bills over demands from the POCI caucus and other new policies, Torres-Ray said. After Limmer said Democrats had not done enough to reach out, Senator Jeff Hayden, DFL from Minneapolis, responded by saying he and his colleagues in the POCI caucus should have been automatically included in the decision-making and had been disrespected in the highest forum. So I want to basically make you realize how big of jackasses the Republicans are by flipping the script on this. So let's say the Democrats control the Senate, okay? And let's all of a sudden say, mysteriously, we don't quite know why, but in 5 counties in western Minnesota, relatively small population counties, mostly farmers, not a lot of population, but it's represented by 4 or 5 senators because of the way the Senate lines break down. For some reason, all the crops are starting to die in those 4 or 5 counties. Every crop, soybeans, corn, sorghum, wheat, sugar beets, all of them are dying, and no one can figure it out. So now imagine the Republican senators come up to the Democratic majority and say, hey, guys, there's a problem out in our district here. We're having all these farmers, their crops are failing. Now imagine the Democrats looked at them and said, we don't think it's a problem, and closed the door and went on their way. Well, all of a sudden, the Republicans come back again. And wait a second here. No. This is a real big problem. We need to fix this problem. This is a big problem for you. And the Democrats, led by the inner city Democrats, the ones who from Minneapolis, St. Paul, that might not have the most experience with the agricultural sector. They're the ones that say, well, you know what? We talked to 1 or 2 farmers, and they didn't seem to think this was a big problem. So, I think you're exaggerating it. And they slam the door again. Finally, they all frantically, everyone's knocking on the door. They're like, no, you don't understand. Every farmer in these 5 counties, they're losing every crop they've got. My God, we've got to do something to help them out. So the Democrats, led by the Minneapolis-St. Paul Democrats, they send out the Democratic majority leader, and he says, or she says, well, wait a second here. Here's the deal. we don't want to rush any kind of ag bill. I mean, you're saying this is a hectic problem. I'm not seeing it. So we don't want to rush any kind of bill through this or ram something down people's throats. So we are going to take time and take it slowly. But we got a special session coming up here at the end of the week. We are going to take our time and due diligence and make sure that these bills are correct. So this is, we do not want to rush anything. And that was on Monday. And on Tuesday, they say, you know what? We don't want to rush anything. We got the special session. We'll start talking about it, but we don't want to rush anything. And on Wednesday, the Republicans come back and say, my God, you've got to do something. Look, all the crops are failing out there. And the Democrats, and led by the Minneapolis and St. Paul Democrats, say, you know what? I tell you what. We don't want to rush into this. We want to take it slow. We're going to do our due diligence. We'll read these bills, and we'll have a good discussion. And then on Thursday, the Democrats, led by the Minneapolis and St. Paul Democrats, also come on out and say, well, we are going to take it slow. We do not want to rush this. And then on Friday, the first day of the special session, the Democrats come on out. The inner city Democrats come on out and say, we've written five bills. These are the bills. We're going to pass these bills. There's no input from anyone else. We're going to pass these bills, and then we're going to gavel close, and we're done. And you look at the bills, and the bills don't do anything at all. They don't help the farmers. They don't, you know, try to figure out what's going on with the crops. They basically, we'll do background checks on the administrators of all the co-ops. We will do that. We will outlaw certain kind of hitch connections on tractors. There you go. We've solved the problem. And then the Republicans, especially the Republican senators who represent this area, they come in and they say, for God's sakes, why are you doing this? You don't even allow us to have any say in these bills. You haven't talked to anyone from our district. You really haven't gotten any of our input. What are you doing? And the Democrat who's in charge from the city comes on out and says, well, you guys had not done enough to reach out to us. And basically, even after we got this started, we didn't have any obligation to let you guys have any input. If that was the case, if that was the scenario that happened, mark my words, Republicans would be trying to take guns into the chambers to threaten the Democrats and force them to pass a bill. And I'm not exaggerating. And there would be guns marching on the St. Paul. The Republicans would proudly be calling for every farmer with a gun to get to St. Paul, because if they're not going to help us one way, we'll make them help us the other way. And that is without a doubt in my mind. And they'd all be talking about freedom, freedom, freedom. They would. Now, no one is doing that kind of extreme pushback on Warren Limmer and the Republicans. But those guys, a bunch of white guys from rural Minnesota who basically have zero knowledge of the inner city and the people there, and they don't like it there, and they don't like minorities, and they sure write bills that show they don't like minorities. And they don't care about the inner city. They, for God's sakes, these are the same people that when a tornado hit Minneapolis, they said, we're not going to help you. And the only thing they want is to get Bob Kroll out of there so they can do, we like the white, you know, police union head who's tough on those minorities in the city and use those images for their campaign literature. But no, Minneapolis and St. Paul are not marching on the state capitol. They're not marching up there and demanding Warren Limmer and Paul Gazelka do their damn job. But can you imagine how outraged they would be? Can you imagine how outraged they'd be if the shoe was on the other foot and they were told, we don't need your input from rural Minnesota? My God. That would, wow. I'd be remiss if I did not bring this up before I get to the end of the show here today. The Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA, will remain in place, keeping nearly 650,000 undocumented young people safe from deportation thanks to a ruling on Thursday by the Supreme Court. The 5-4 decision authored by Chief Justice John Roberts, the court ruled that President Donald Trump wrongly ended DACA. Now, I want to make sure we're clear about this. This was not whether or not DACA should stay or was a viable program. The lawsuit was basically the way that they ended the program was wrong. The majority opinion called the decision to terminate the program an arbitrary and capricious violation of the law. While the ruling leaves the doors open for Trump to rescind the program in the future, it offers a huge relief for hundreds of thousands of people who came to the U.S. as children, often called dreamers, who are currently able to remain under the Obama-era program. DACA has been life-changing for those undocumented immigrants, moving them from the threat of deportation and allowing them to work legally under permits that must be renewed every 2 years. The argument basically... The Republicans basically just kept, you know, making the argument that he can do whatever he wants. And that was what the Republicans' argument was. The argument from the Trump White House seemed to be that the president, or at least this president, can do whatever he wants on immigration as long as the end result is keeping people out. What was actually quite amazing in this ruling by Roberts was an absolute beatdown by John Roberts on Brett Kavanaugh. And by the way, for anyone that didn't wonder if Brett Kavanaugh was worthy of a Supreme Court seat, this is Justice Roberts. This is a conservative court member. This is what he wrote. Kavanaugh asserts that this foundational principle of administrative law actually limits only what lawyers can argue, not what agencies may do, Roberts wrote in his decision. While it is true that the court has often rejected justifications belatedly advanced by advocates, we offer this as a prohibition on post hoc rationalizations, not advocate rationalizations, because the problem is the timing, not the speaker. The functional reasons for requiring contemporaneous explanations apply with equal force regardless whether post hoc justifications were raised in court by those appearing on behalf of the agency or the agency officials themselves. Basically saying you can't just rewrite the law and apply it how you want to, Brett, like you're trying to. That's not how this works. Roberts continued in his footnotes, Kavanaugh further argues that the contemporaneous explanation requirement applies only to agency adjudications for rulemaking, Roberts wrote, but he cites no authority limiting the basic principle, which the court regularly articulates in the context of rulemaking, to adjudications. The government does not even raise this unheralded argument. So basically what he's saying is, you can't just rewrite the law, and by the way, this was not the argument the government even put forward. If you want evidence that Brett Kavanaugh is not an independent seat on the Supreme Court, that he basically was being coached on what he was supposed to rule, how he was supposed to rule, and the argument that he was being put forward from the White House, it's this ruling that even Roberts, because it was so ludicrous and basically sounded like it was just written from the Trump legal team itself, even he came on out and said, this makes no damn sense. That's a pretty, for a Supreme Court justice, that's about as beat down as you get. But Brett Kavanaugh should never have been put on that Supreme Court. He was grossly unqualified when he was put on there. I hope that when the Democrats get in charge of the Senate, there's a full investigation into his background, because we do deserve answers on what the hell that punk of a kid was doing. And I still call him a punk today, because that's all he really is a punk. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Got some music to take us out today. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Is it time to downsize but don't know where to start? Give the House Geeks with Bricks Real Estate a call. We are experienced in making this process as smooth and as easy as possible. Whether it is with pricing your home or assistance in finding movers or any other professionals that you might need to help get your home ready, we are here for you. Take the worry away and give us a call today at 651-303-0019. Again, that is 651-303-0019, or online anytime at housegeeks.com.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station. Next Chapter Booksellers is the perfect gift idea for Dad this Father's Day. Whether the dad on your list likes baseball, barbecues, or biographies, Next Chapter Booksellers can help you find just the right book to make his Father's Day a special occasion. Plus, Next Chapter even sells cards and puzzles. Call them daily between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. to talk to a bookseller. They love making recommendations. That's 651-225-8989 or nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Metz inviting you to listen to a great new episode on the Wall of Power Radio Hall this weekend. We have bass player and bar owner Tony Zaccardi on for the whole show. Tony was recently interviewed on CNN and CNBC as he owns Palmer's Bar in Minneapolis, talking about all the unrest that's been happening in the Twin Cities over the last 3 or 4 weeks. We feature some music of his bands Eleganza, Ben Collin, Romantica, this Saturday at 6 p.m. on AM950.
AM950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, listen to Metz's show. That show is absolutely outstanding. 952-946-6205. By the way, apparently, Patrick, Gazelka's out there still making a big deal about the Columbus statue. How can they do this about Columbus? Fun fact about Christopher Columbus. Actually, not a fun fact. It's a horrifying fact. Christopher Columbus, you know, kidnapped 9 and 10-year-old native girls and sold them into the sex trade to his buddies. 9 and 10-year-old native girls were considered currency for Columbus. But hey, Paul, tell us more about why you want that guy to have his statue back up at the Capitol, huh? Paul Gazelka loves everything Christopher Columbus apparently stood for. Wow. Don't think I won't be taking you to task a little bit later on online tomorrow tonight. We've got to get out of here. Have a good rest of the night. We are back on a Friday. Keen is going to help us out to get us out today. We'll talk to you on a Friday. Till then, see ya.